Blog Talk Radio.
BYGP family and guests. Thank you so much for tuning in tonight. My name is Ashley Goodman, and I will be hosting tonight's BYGP Locker Room Show. I'm really excited to be speaking with Mr. Coach Eric Jackson tonight. Coach Jackson has 27 years of coaching experience at the collegiate level at universities such as Cincinnati, Cornell, Idaho, Cal Poly, Princeton, you know, you name it, he's probably been there. He's also started his own company called Coach J, Academic Coach LLC, which is one of the reasons I thought he would be such a great guest to bring on and, you know, get his input and discuss how he's able to help young athletes be solid when it comes to your GPA and be able to transition into playing college ball. If at any point you guys do have any questions for Coach Jackson, call in at 310-807-5195. So let's patch Coach in. Coach Jay, you with us?
I'm with you. What's going on?
Not much. How are you doing?
I'm outstanding. I'm pumped to be on the show.
Yeah, well, we are excited to have you on. And we're excited to have your expertise. I mean, you've been in the coaching field for many, many years, and you've recruited thousands and thousands of athletes. So you've seen the process and how it's kind of changed over the years. But let's get, you know, some background on you. Where are you originally from?
I'm originally from Ann Arbor, Michigan. So I'm a good old Midwest boy. I went to Ypsilanti High School.
Okay.
And,
okay.
Yeah,
and,
so,
and
you know,
I was going to ask you about, you know, growing up in Michigan. Michigan's a big football, you know, environment. Tell us about your football journey growing up in that environment and just, you know, how it developed for you to be such a, you know, huge player.
Well, you know what, yeah, like you said, Ann Arbor is a great town to grow up in. I mean, it's, you know, it's huge football, you know, city, and obviously the state is big, you know, with Michigan State being there and Eastern and Central and Western. So, you know, you've got a lot of football going on in it.
Absolutely.
You know, I went to my first football game when I was 4 years old. My dad, you know, had his buddies at the turnstiles. He pushed me through, and I ran like the Dickens to, you know, get into the game. So, you know, you're in the big house when you're four. That's what you think it's going to be like and what it should be like. So,
yeah.
I loved it every, you know, every lick of the way. And then, you know, growing up in Ypsilanti, which was a football power, we were a football power in high school. I mean, we were like, you know, one of the feared schools that you had to play against. You know, we were always, you know, ranked in the top five, you know, every year and had great tradition. It was, you know, it was a scary place because you're like, holy smoke, these guys are so good every year and so big. So, you know,
I was going to say. So really, was it your dad? Did your dad play football, or did you have any siblings that were, you know, huge into the sport?
No one.
Okay.
Yeah, just growing up in Ann Arbor, you're a football fan just by birth.
Yeah,
it just happens. You just thrown into
it. Absolutely. Yeah. So then how did it develop? I mean, so where did you end up playing college ball, and how did you really transition from, you know, playing in such a football environment, high school, into transitioning into college ball? How did that go for you?
Well, you know, it was kind of a given. We were such a good, you know, really good, solid program. You kind of, you know, we're expected. This is what you're going to do. You're going to go to college, and you're going to go play college ball. And, you know, it could be at, you know, Division I, II, or III, but that's what we do here at, you know, at Ipsy High. So you're kind of conditioned toward that. I tell you what, you know, interesting, my freshman year, I didn't play football.
Oh, really?
These guys were huge, Ashley. I'm telling you, they were gigantic. So, you know, I always could side with the young guys and say, hey, I didn't play until this year or XYZ year, because I had that same, you know, similar experience, because I was like, holy smoke, man, these guys are going to kill me. So I ran, I ran cross country. And then my two gym teachers, which one was a football coach, one was a track coach, found me running around the gym. They saw this athletic, skinny guy, and they said, hey, you know what, why don't you do this? And they got me to run cross country. And the next year, my 10th grade year, I played football. And I loved it. So it just, you know, then, you know, you become a starter and you play, and it just becomes ingrained. And, you know, I had a chance to go to Eastern Michigan. I was a walk-on. So, you know, you had to work your butt off to get to that, you know, to that point. And
absolutely.
Still real naive. Yeah, still real naive in terms of the process. Because it was one of those things, that's what you're supposed to do. But even then, nobody told you how you were going to actually do it. You know, so you're just kind of thrown into an environment. You're like, okay, now what? All right, I've always been had a great work ethic, but what do we do now?
Absolutely. So why Eastern Michigan? Why was there any other, you know, possibilities for you, or was it always going to be Eastern Michigan?
No, you know, I looked at you know, Michigan Tech, because I had a bunch of buddies that were going there. We looked at Grand Valley. Michigan was a possibility, but my sister was going there, and then it became kind of a financial aid thing. She was going there. I couldn't go there at the same time. So Eastern was just cheaper. So I was like, okay. So I went there. You know, Jerry DeMarco was the guy who recruited me back then in the day.
Oh, really? You did play DB, right, both in high school and in college?
I did.
You were a DB?
I did play DB. I was a defensive back.
So did you feel like doing cross-country helped you in any way to, you know, become better on the field? Or once your freshman year, were you done with cross-country?
No, you know what? You know, I ran track after that, because the guy that got me involved, I think the biggest thing is he just believed in me as a good kid, and then as a guy that could, you know, run really well. So it was just an opportunity that someone gave me, and I said, you know what? It just gave me the ability to be on a team, and then you learn the dynamics of, okay, this is what you need to be on and contribute to a team.
Mm-hmm.
So that was cool.
So did you think about, while you were at Eastern Michigan, was academics, or, you know, was your schoolwork, was it important to you, or were you really just there to play ball?
No, I always thought myself as an academic guy, but I tell you my first year, you know, when you get all C's, minuses, and, you know, you're like, oh, that's really, that's what that grade point is? It's a 1 point. What? Oh, my God. You know, back then in the day, see, it wasn't, you know, you didn't have a computer, so.
Yeah.
You know, your report card got mailed to your parents, and, you know, shoot, your parents saw it, and they smoked me. Oh, my God.
Are we talking about high school, or are we talking about college?
We're talking about college. Well, this is 1982, so, you know.
Oh, wow. So they really mailed it to your parents?
They mailed it to the house, man. You couldn't avoid that thing. It came in, and, you know, that was the conversation I think every kid has ever had. You either do this or you get a job, and you move out. You're like, oh, okay. So after that, I was embarrassed. You know, it wasn't like I wasn't doing any work. It was just, you know, just like anybody, you're transitioning. You're just not used to working at that level.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it definitely, definitely opened my eyes.
Absolutely. So your sophomore year, you stepped it up and you know, you took care of business in the conference?
Yeah, from then on, I stepped it up.
Okay. So then, really, when did you believe that you were, you know, going to be a coach, or how did that develop that, you know, you ended up in coaching?
Well, I'd say my high school coach, you know, said that I would be a good coach, and he reached out to me and said that, you know, this is something you got to look into.
Uh-huh.
So when I was done playing, I started working the Michigan football camp. I mean, it's a who's who that's there. And he said, here's a guy from the University of Cincinnati. They need a grad assistant. I was like, okay, cool.
Uh-huh.
And you know, the guy interviewed me on the field and said, hey, we want you to talk about this, and then come on down to the school and meet the head coaches and all the other coaches. And I was like, all right. It wasn't my first, you know, thought of what my career was going to be, but I thought, all right, go down someplace, get my school paid for, I can do it.
Yeah,
and then
absolutely.
That first year, because, you know, we played Miami when they were, you know, outstanding. We played Penn State. We played West Virginia when they were unbelievable. We played Boston College. So you're taking off on Friday afternoons at a, you know, the Cincinnati airport on Learjets and whatnot. I'm like, okay, I think I like this.
Yeah. So pretty much right off the bat, it was a given. You wanted to stick with it and see where your career went within coaching.
Yeah, that part, you know, that part was really alluring. But the other part was, you know, it's the opportunity to help out kids in a different way. I knew I could have an impact on them. Just like, you know, the two guys that, you know, found me in high school, Bob Sutton and Levi Simpson. I remember those guys forever.
Yeah.
So they took a chance. So I'm thinking, down the road, I'm going to pay it forward. I'm going to do this for somebody else as well. So that's how it all started.
Yeah, and that's always a good way to look at it. You know, I've gotten a lot of help from, you know, my mentors, and I always try to at least help younger people out with whatever I can. So yeah, that's a excellent way to look at it. So with the experience that you have, like I said, you've been coaching for 27 years. You've recruited multiple athletes. What are some common mistakes you find dealing with athletes and parents?
You know, I think the common mistake is that the emphasis overall, and it's not even their fault, is on everything else. It's on everything about you being an athlete. You know, from your socks to your jersey to, you know, your 40 time, your bench, your vertical jump, all those things are more important than the other part, which is going to take you, you know, going forward, where you need to go for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You know, so that's the first thing, and that's not even their fault. You go to every combine and camps, there's nothing said about academics. They may say, well, you know, you need to study harder. Okay.
And that's really not clear because, I mean, how much studying is going to really help me, you know, in that transition period to go to college?
Right. So, and then for families and for athletes, it's just, they just don't, you know, we always use the kind of that phrase, you know, they don't know, you know.
Yeah.
I need to know this, but I don't know how important it is. Yeah, you know, I always use this is a great example. So today there are kids at camps and they're getting offered a scholarship, and then they'll get that letter that says, hey, you know, at ABC University, you've been offered a full ride, and based on your, you know, talents, boom, boom, boom. And then the second paragraph will always say, per you meeting the NCAA academic requirements, boom, 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 dot, 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 dot.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
So it's just one of those things that sometimes they forget about it. And some kids are really savvy, and some parents are really savvy, but the biggest thing is that it's just such a low emphasis on it. You know, you just don't get a chance to rally and focus and pull yourself together.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, in your opinion, do you think there's enough services out there for athletes and parents that are helping, you know, understand the recruiting process and NCAA's rulings and regulations? Do you think there's, you know, enough out there resources for them?
Well, I tell you, the NCAA's page is actually a decent page. You know, when you go to the Eligibility Center, there's a resource page. You click on it. Only thing about it, there's just like 88 items on that bad boy. So it can be a little intimidating when you're trying to navigate. Now, it's organized, but it's almost like when I always tell people, it's like when you got your iPhone. Everybody's got their iPhone or their whatever their smartphone is, and they look at their terms of service.
Yeah.
It's got like 8 pages of small print. You're like, really? I'm going to have to figure this out? I mean, I feel like that's the same thing. So, you know, there's – I don't know if I could say there's some great ones out there.
Uh-huh.
I think the emphasis is more on how you can get recruited, how your tape can get seen, as opposed to, you know, hey, this is the guidelines, and this is how you – and this going forward is how you can – immediately find out and gain some solutions, as opposed to how quickly somebody can view your tape.
I gotcha.
I haven't seen that many out there.
So even with NCAA, they don't do a very good job of explaining, you know, about requirements or, you know, regulations within the academic portions of being, you know, recruited.
No, they do. They do. They have a nice PowerPoint. It's clean, and you can pull it up. You can go to the Eligibility Center right now. You could click on and pull it up, and you can read through it. But you know, it's still, you're reading something like, okay, what's that mean? But I have a blank transcript, or I have a transcript here, and I still don't know if I'm close to it or not.
Yeah.
You know,
I know what my
overall is, but now somebody's telling me I need a core. Well, what the heck is a core GPA?
Exactly. Yeah.
No,
so,
I haven't.
So with,
I get that.
Yeah.
Sorry.
So then you're good. So, and we will get, you know, for those who are listening, we will get into what a core class is and everything more in detail. And I just really wanted to get, you know, your background and make sure that everyone understood where you were coming from. And your, you know, expertise on this issue and this topic. So, I mean, in your opinion, do you agree with NCAA changing the GPA and, you know, a 2.0 to a 2.3, and then the SAT, ACT requirements for class 2016? Do you think those are?
I mean,
you know,
I don't agree with it. I think it could get grandfathered or pushed back. But it is creeping up pretty quickly. I mean, we're already recruiting the class of 2015. So, I mean, the class of 2016 is right there.
Yeah.
You know, I think what the NCAA is probably trying to do is say, hey, you know what, let's get rid of the last second push by kids, because they get bombarded by high school athletes who are trying to get that last class, you know, those last classes done and repeat all these things and, you know, their senior year because they just figured it out.
Yeah,
well,
exactly.
You know, but it'd be great if there were programs before that to identify
mm-hmm.
those constantly.
But
I have solutions for it, but, you know. Okay.
Well, yeah, but you've also mentioned, you know, that there's only so many, you know, academic advisors and, you know, a school who are dealing with 400, 500 students.
Right.
And it's not always easy to just walk into your academic advisor and be like, what do I need to do? You know? So I think a lot of the time, or some of the time, depending on, you know, your situation and your school, it's up to the athlete and the parents to understand it more than, I guess, maybe they realize, or more than
mm-hmm.
they think they should, because there's just so many kids, you know, that are doing the exact same thing. Why do you not agree with NCAA changing the requirements?
Well, I think it's just like you just stated. I mean, you've got your average high school probably has, what, 400, 500 kids in a class, and then there's four counselors, and, you know, so, and remember, you got to remember, high school counselors, their job isn't to do NCAA academic requirements. Their job
uh-huh.
is to graduate you from high school. People don't understand that high school graduation requirements are different than NCAA requirements. They're not the same. So that's why, I mean, that's why you have typing and the home ec classes and all the other things. They're trying to make you the most well-rounded person, so when you you're a little savvier when you get out of high school and go to college.
Yeah.
So, you know, that part just makes it a little tougher. Then all of a sudden you're going to say, hey, you know, we're going to raise the core GPA to 2.3. Whoa, 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 whoa. we didn't do anything.
Yeah.
They'll solve that first problem, that, you know, to make sure that kids are using all the resources they have in high school. Now, it's that one, it'll scare some kids into, okay, maybe I need to identify this early. But, you know, a lot of athletes are thinking, well, am I going to be that person? So they wait, and then they wait too late, and now they're playing catch-up.
Exactly. And we've had that discussion before. And it's challenging. It's a lot difficult to just start from the beginning and, you know, maintain that GPA at a, you know, decent level. Then, you know, then bust your butt all the way to your senior year trying to really just make a difference on that. So really trying to understand the process of starting, you know, right when you can and maintaining that GPA all the way through. Rather than, you know, pushing it to junior, senior year and then realizing that you need to step it up. So you and I have talked about this, and the percentages, this will just give the audience a little bit of understanding these changes in 2016. And this is from an ESPN article. I believe we've sent this out to you guys. So you may already know these stats, but 15.3% of student athletes who enrolled in 2009-2010 wouldn't meet the criteria for 2016 academic standards. And then 35.2% of football players who enrolled in 2009-2010 would not meet the requirements in 2016 for academic standards. So, I mean, those are pretty good numbers on the high end when you think about it. So that does put in place for, you know, that class 2016 to really understand that these changes are being made and to make sure that you are doing everything you can to stay on top of your schoolwork and on that GPA as well. And just for those out there, a 2.3 you'd also need to get a 1080 on an SAT or a 93 on an ACT. So those are just some numbers to think about. So, Coach, what about this company? I know you started this company. How long ago?
January 2013.
Okay. So fairly recent. Why did you feel that you needed to start this company?
Well, you know, I think it just kind of goes back to the same thing we just talked about. You know, as a college coach, you know, you go in to recruit kids every year. Great high schools, out in the middle of nowhere high schools. But I kept seeing the same thing over and over. Kids just didn't know anything about their academics, their core. Now, obviously, if a kid is, you know, got a great GPA, They're doing their thing. But for the guys who did not, and, you know, they were going to be lost, and now they're trying to play catch-up because they failed so many courses and they needed to repeat them, but they didn't know. And then, you know, the counselor doesn't know the NCAA rules, so they're like, you know. And then kids were getting labeled, and then kids were just getting forgotten in the recruiting process. So it bugged me.
Really
bugged me. So I said, you know what, the one thing I can do is I can figure out and give kids a game plan going forward to make sure that they, to help them meet the NCAA requirements. So that's what I came up with, Coach J, you know, academic coach. And I always kind of, I'll take a picture with kids or with a coach, and I always say jumpstart with, you know, whoever that person is. And it's really, you're jumpstarting that conversation so you can have it, so you can start talking about your academic part.
Exactly, because I mean it's always fun to talk about, you know, on the field and football and everything, but like we said, there's a lot of things that we may not like doing but we have to do to get, you know, to our ultimate goal. So talking about the academic portions of your career, guys, is definitely a requirement. You should definitely know what's going on in that area of your life. So then, Coach, tell me this. I mean, again, you've recruited thousands of athletes. I asked you, you know, if you could tell me a number, and clearly it was too much for you to even think about. But how many students have you brought in and have not graduated college? How many is that?
You know, I think we had this conversation. Out of all the guys I've had, I'm you know, it's just been two that haven't graduated.
That is amazing. Out of 27 years, it's only been two student athletes that have not graduated college. And then, and you know, really with those situations, I mean, that's a great stat right there. But with those situations, were they just not into school, or what was the issue with that situation, or with the two situations?
The first one. The first one just wasn't into school at all, and he didn't like the location of where he was, and he just said, you know, I'm going to leave. So he left. I mean, he kind of left. You know, he left a full ride scholarship. It was one of those things like, really, you want to go back? Okay.
Wow.
And then the other kid just eventually just didn't go to class.
Okay.
And you know, ended up failing out.
So did do you know if the first one transferred, or do you know anything whatever happened to him?
I don't. You know what? I've not been able to track him at all.
In fact,
those are two. There's two guys. All the guys I've coached, those are two guys. I have no idea what happened to him, which is pretty tough for me.
Yeah. That is definitely. But still, within 27 years, and having two guys. That's still a great accomplishment, and you should feel very proud on you know, your work on recruiting and getting guys through and getting their degree. Now, with this, how many – tell us about the academic calculator that you've designed to help athletes stay on top and keeping track of their GPA and their core classes.
Well, you know, with the Coach J Core GPA calculator, it's very similar to the one I used when I was in Division One, because you need to be able to figure out an athlete's core, you know, at the school or when you leave the school, because you want to know if you can actually recruit him or not. Because if they're not close, then you have two options, right? You say, okay, well, he's not close, I'm going to move on. Or if he's not close, you're like, you know what, I'm going to put my arm around this guy and say, and show you that I have a plan for you going forward, and I'm going to stick with you for the rest of your life, just not, you know, through this recruiting process.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's just the thing that happens for, I think, with counselors and sometimes and high school coaches, they have to do this by hand, which is, you know, not an easy task. I mean, you got a lot of scribble trying to figure out. The calculator is easy. You know, it's an Excel sheet. And then I think more so than anything, it gives the athlete the power, you know, to take control of their future. Because all they can do, all they need to go in there is they open it up, they type in, you know, English 1 for their first semester, and then English 2 in their second semester, and then, you know, whatever grade they got, there's no pluses and minuses in this process.
Uh-huh.
And then it spits out what your GPA is. They say, this is what you got. And then you also see, Ashley, is that, hey, you know, if you have a bunch of C's, this is what your GPA is, and this is how, you know, this is how quickly C's can drop your GPA. Just like if you got a couple B's, this is what it means. And this is how important that, you know, A's and B's, you know, are to your GPA. So I think it's a game changer. And like I said, the biggest thing is it doesn't insult anybody's intelligence. It's easy for kids. They can use it. The guys who have it now, they're rock stars.
Yeah.
The next thing it does, it gives them some intention. All right. Like I said, it empowers you. It gives you some solutions. You're like, okay, you know what? I got an F in that class. Well, I need to repeat it. So now you've identified an issue, as opposed to, oh, I didn't know I had to repeat that until the maybe your your last two semesters
exactly.
of high school, and you're and
exactly.
you're scrambling.
Mm-hmm.
But it also
I was going to say, and that also again comes back to where we had said, you know, in US, there's four counselors, guys. There's four academic counselors, and there's 400, 500 students in that class. You know, it gives you the reins of pulling it in and taking the responsibility of knowing what you have to do to better your career and better, you know, better transition into playing college ball and doing what you need to do. And so that, you're right, it gives the student athlete more power to understand the process and to make a difference within his career.
Right, and that's what you guys are about. You guys have, you know, it's as I told you before, this is like, you know, having an audio book. You know, you listen to the folks are getting interviewed, mm-hmm. and they have great personal stories, right, and how they've climbed the ladders and their obstacles and how they've found solutions to get it. I mean, so this is just another way to empower kids. And then the thing I think it helps you out, one, obviously, school is going to become more important to you because you're going to see it. You're going to figure it out because if you want to go to the next level, you're going to understand that you have to change your habits.
Yeah.
You better start sitting in the front of the class. You better start paying attention to this. You can, you know, print off a PDF and stick it on your wall and say, okay, this is my goal. Got it. Because you can also play around with the grades. You can say, okay, what if I get this grade instead of the current grade I have? Or what if I get the opposite grade instead of this one? So you can see, you know, positive or negative where you are. And then I think the biggest thing for, you know, the kids who are, you know, maybe, you know, they didn't know or maybe they're a little low and, you know, they're talking to college coaches, it allows you to come across to the college, you know, coaches recruiting you as a pretty sharp guy.
Yeah, exactly.
I know, I mean, the two examples are, I go to a school, I'm there to evaluate, I talk to the young man and I say, hey, how's your grades? What's your overall? And the kid, you know, he says, I don't know. I think it's like a, you know, such and such. Or, hey, what's your core? I don't even know what a core is. Okay, have you taken the test yet? No, not yet. I mean, I'm thinking, okay, I don't want to babysit this guy. College coaches do not want to babysit anybody. I want to coach football. And then, you know, I'm going to help you with your academic part, but I don't want to babysit you and walk you to class or whatnot. Now the kid who has this can say, hey, coach, you know, I'm a 2.1, but I have a plan, and this is what I'm going to do. I'm in summer school. I've got this. I've got that. I'm going to feel pretty good about that dang kid because I'm like, you know what? Okay, he's a self-starter. He's got his act together as opposed to somebody that's, you know, doesn't know.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that just shows maturity. I think coaches always like to see, you know, those athletes that are taking charge. Because, you know, that does transition onto the field. They know that if you're taking care of business off the field, that you pretty well are probably going to take care of business on the field and maybe be a leader of the team and have those types of qualities. So that's always a positive for coaches to see you guys taking charge and know, making sure that you guys understand and are taking the measurements to the whole process of what you need to do to even get to that level. So then, Coach, let me ask you, so we talked about high school. What are some of the JC players? You know, you've been within coaching for, again, multiple years. What are some of the things that with junior college kids that you've seen kind of hurt them, or they just haven't realized it, or the transition to getting into that 4-year, what is that process different? How and how so?
Well, you know, for the JC, transfer, you know, the core calculator is out. It's out of the picture. You don't use that one. That really becomes a how many classes there you're going to transfer over, and they're going to be accepted by the university of your choice. So that really becomes an admissions, more of an admissions part, or that compliance officer at the school. So they're going to look and say, okay, this is going to count, this is not going to count, and now you need a 2.5 GPA to transfer from JC to a 4-year, and they got to be
yes.
have to be academic courses.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you know, the biggest thing is that kids, you know, that go to JC have to understand this. You know, this I want to go to, you know, SC or UCLA or Washington or Michigan or Iowa. These are academic schools, so you have to be, you know, you got to put yourself in a position so you can make it. So they
yeah.
have to understand that you're going to have to take a, you know, a pretty good load and pass it with some great grades. Because a 2.5 is what, a C plus, B minus average?
Yeah,
so,
I think B minus.
More so that's the thing, yeah, that's the thing I see kids that are from JC struggle with more so than anything that, you know, in the past. Now I think, you know, junior college counselors and coaches load them up and make sure that they're on track. But in the past, you know, guys barely took anything, and they struggled when they got to college because they weren't ready for it.
Yeah,
that
yeah.
transition hit them in the face because now they actually had to, you know, learn some study habits dealing with
Absolutely.
Legitimate college professors.
Yeah.
So,
well, and I know, but I do know some who have taken that route of going to a JUCO, gone to, you know, the JC, and it's actually helped them transition into a 4-year better than, it, you know, if they were to, you know, just go from high school to a 4-year. So there
right.
are
sometimes,
both
yeah,
ways.
Exactly.
It kind of depends
some
on
just
the person.
Need that transition.
So,
exactly.
Yeah,
some guys need the transition.
So then, Coach, I forgot to ask you and to clarify for the audience, core classes for high school athletes, what are those core classes?
Well, the core classes that you need, all right, are going to be English, all right, so you're going to need 4 years of English, three
mm-hmm.
years of math, all right, and it's going to have to be Algebra 1 or higher. It can't be anything lower than that. You know, you need
mm-hmm.
2 years of, you know, science. You need another year of additional English, math, or science, or it could be, you know, foreign language, and then you need 2 years of social science, and then
okay.
you know, you need 4 more years of additional courses like those, foreign language, you know, religion, philosophy, et cetera, so forth. So when, you,
uh-huh.
when you're doing the calculator, it's laid out for you like that. You see it. And you know, you look at how many, you know, you look at your English and you're putting your English in, you look at your math. The high school counselors do a good job in saying this is what you need, this is where you're going to go, and they put you on track of where you are developmentally, you know, for high school. So you're not going to miss anything that way. It's just, you know, sometimes if you mess up, you don't have any answers for it. So those are your core courses. And the NCAA has a on their resource page a thing called the 48H form. Okay, and
okay.
you click on that, and you can actually, you put in the name of your high school and your state,
uh-huh.
and then it'll show you what classes are actually core classes at your school,
oh.
and it'll break it down That's... into English, math, science, social studies, and then additional core.
Okay.
So if you're taking,
well,
you know, so maybe your, so maybe your counselor has you in a class, and you're like, I need another core class. I can't take this other class. It doesn't count for my
mm-hmm.
NCAA requirements. Then you can identify that. So, again, like I said, it puts power into your hands as opposed to you know, getting caught.
Exactly. Well, and I mean, once again, as much for you guys as you can control – make sure that you're controlling it because there's going to be a lot of things that are going to be out of your control, but these are things that, you know, you can make a difference and it's up to you on that. So then one more question I have before we, you know, before we get out of this, what advice would you want players and parents to know as they're going through this recruiting process? Like one piece that you think is key.
I think, you know, the biggest thing is you got to organize yourself. And it starts, you know, back when you have that conversation and when you're in eighth grade or whatnot. Say, hey, you know what,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to pursue this. This is what I want to
mm-hmm.
do. I think I want to play sports. Well, these are going to be the requirements for you because you're going to be the class of, you know, 2019 or whatever.
Yeah.
And you have to understand, this is a business. You know, it's not, you know, ESPN is great because it gives great highlights, you know, reels, and I love it, right? But and it gives you a lot of hype, but it's a business. So
absolutely.
If you're not organized in the business world, you're going to get passed by quickly, right? And those who are
very savvy
with it, you know, I'm sure there's a lot of folks in the audience, a lot of kids that are like, well, I'm better than that kid. I whipped him all the time. Well, he actually is really organized and has done this, and maybe you're not. But, I mean, that's a you know, short example of something. But
yeah,
I think that's the biggest thing. Because kids know, you ask them they're 40, you know, they're vertical, they're bench. They can tell you that left and right.
Absolutely, yeah.
Where are you on the sliding scale? You got to know that now, man. You have
exactly.
to know that.
Yeah.
I mean, they say, I know all the offers I have. I know the schools I like. It's really easy to organize this other aspect of your life. You just got to emphasize it. That's all.
Well, and it's also easy to, you know, understand or know everything about your numbers and, like you said, your bench, your vert, everything of that nature, because that's what you like doing. It's those things that, again, you don't like doing that, you know, you may put on the back burner, and then it comes to haunt you later once you're trying to actually, you know, achieve that goal. So that's very, very solid information. And we've talked about organization quite a bit, and we'll keep on talking about it just because it is definitely needed in this. It's one of those things, again, if it helps you guys write things down, do that. If it helps you to, you know, talk into your smartphone and do a voice recording, do that. Whatever is going to help you figure out what that is, and then, you know, just start doing that, because it's going to get even more crazy as you go into college and have those types of schedules and are trying to fall out and take care of responsibility off the field. So, yeah, that is definitely, definitely key, and thank you for sharing that. Coach, what is the best way for athletes and parents to contact you and get more information about you?
You just go to the website, CoachEJackson.com. It's got my cell phone on it, you know. So you got to remember, I'm an old college coach, so I'm used to handling a ton of different, you know, ton of calls.
Yeah.
You know? So I can handle the volume. It doesn't bother me one bit, because I think, you know, because I give quick answers and solutions. And I'll tell you the last thing is that you know, the calculator is not, you know, it's not. I've got some guys who use it that their GPA is pretty low, so it's not one of those things of, well, he can't do that. He's not. They can do it. I'm just going to tell you. It doesn't insult their intelligence. They can do it. And it puts instant answers right in front of your face. Okay, like, this is where I am. So.
Absolutely, yeah. And again, you know, take all the responsibility, guys. Try to figure that out. If you do want to get in touch and want to speak with Coach Jay, we will be putting his information on Facebook, and it'll be on the show as well. So thank you, Coach, so much for joining us tonight and you know, filling us in with all your knowledge and all your input with this topic. We really appreciate you taking the time to speak with us.
Well, I appreciate you and Terrence giving folks the opportunity to listen in and having this outstanding program. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. And we will talk to you soon. We'll have you again on. You'll be, you know, our academic go-to person in the future. So we'll talk soon.
Okay. Thanks.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you.
So, guys, we hope you got all that you needed to really understand the process of your academic career to help you on and off. We hope Coach Jackson filled you in on some knowledge that you didn't know, or, you know, just to touch up and remember that 2016 NCAA is changing those rules. So just make sure that you're staying on top of that and knowing what's going on. Right now we have so many great things going on with BYGP. So check us out at www.beforeyougopro.com. And if you guys have not checked out our book, Before You Go Pro, please do. It's a solid book. It's going to give you, you know, so much to your game plan and preparation for your journey. So definitely check that out. On Thursday, tune in at 6:30 p.m. Pacific time for a fantastic guest. I'm so happy he could fit us in to his schedule. So definitely don't miss out on that. This is Ashley Goodman signing off for BYGP and the rest of BYGP team. Stay focused and keep that drive going to accomplish those big dreams. Have a good night, guys.